Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. In this episode, we're asking how the antitrust landscape in the US is shifting under the Trump administration. We're exploring if the role of lobbying has expanded significantly or if it's just moved out of the shadows, and what's changing when it comes to remedies. To answer those questions and more, Serafina Smith, a senior regulatory reporter for Merger Market, spoke to Kathy O'Neill, a partner in Fried Frank's market-leading antitrust and competition department. Kathy is based at Fried Frank's Washington, D.C. office. She's previously served for nearly 16 years in the Department of Justice's antitrust division, including as the most senior career official overseeing all civil antitrust enforcement.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's going to be an interesting discussion. I'm excited to talk about navigating getting deals done in today's antitrust environment. We are now in the second year of the second Trump administration, and it would be great to get your thoughts on this environment. So to start out, I was wondering if you could start broadly with how you think strategically about the current deal-making environment. What are your thoughts on engaging with the agencies in the current environment?
So good morning, Serafina. So great to be here. Thanks for inviting me, and I'm happy to share some insights. So I actually think it's a really good time for deal making here in the U.S. The current federal administration, the Trump administration, is much less hostile to M&A than the last administration and the Biden administration. The federal agencies are more open to the notion that deals can actually be positive and result in positive things for consumers and customers as a general matter. And I think you also see federal agencies more open to merger remedies. So under the last administration, there was a reflexive negative view about merger remedies, a preference to litigate. What we see under the second Trump administration is a reversion back to the more traditional approach, which is to say merger remedies are back in play. And when the agencies have concerns about a deal that maybe affect, you know, some piece of overlap, some small overlap, but the deal as a whole is viewed as something that is neutral or positive, agencies are willing to invoke the tool of merger remedies to address the perceived problematic aspects and allow the overall deal to close. And I think that's an important change.
Great. I was wondering if you could give us a sense of how that works in practice, if there's any particular tools in your toolbox that you found to be particularly useful in dealing with this administration.
Yeah, sure. So, as I mentioned, merger remedies are a tool that are back in play under this administration. I also just find good old-fashioned constructive engagement on the merits. Obviously, my approach is going to differ depending on the deal. But if I have a good deal and I have good facts, you know, I might, for example, come in early, engage early with the career staff at the DOJ or the FTC to make sure that their questions get answered with a view to navigating through the process more quickly for my client. Overall, my general approach in representing clients before DOJ and the FTC is to try and engage collaboratively and constructively, because I find that in almost all instances that results in better outcomes for my clients.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was wondering if you have any examples of a time where you might have found that engaging constructively with the agencies was helpful for getting a deal through.
Sure. I can think of two recent cases, and I can't get into the specifics of either deal, but in two recent cases, both industries where DOJ has in the past expressed concerns, where there have been extended reviews, I took the approach of coming in early, even before the HSR was filed, working with my counterparty representing the other side on the transaction, came in early, engaged early, elicited questions from the staff, worked very quickly to respond to those questions, got them white papers, got them answers. And in both of those cases, that constructive engagement coming in early, being extremely responsive, allowed us to avoid a second request in both cases. So obviously a lot The strategy is going to depend on the specifics of the deal, but where you think you have good facts, but you suspect that there are going to be questions, I think there's real value to considering early engagement, giving the agency a little bit more time on the front end, whether it's through a pull and refile, coming in before the HSR is filed, to give them the time that they need to get comfortable.
It's good to hear that constructive engagement on the merits seems to have been a positive experience during this administration. I have to ask, though, because it's the elephant in the room. There's been a lot of talk in Washington lately about lobbying, especially in antitrust. And I'm just wondering, how do you navigate that with your clients?
It's a good question. Look, lobbying has been a factor. It's been around for a long time. You know, I worked at the DOJ for 16 years, and I can remember lobbyists, you know, lobbying senior people going back to my early days at DOJ and the antitrust division. I think there's just a sense in which some of that happens. There has been more focus on that under the current administration. Increasingly, I have clients on a broader set of deals that are asking that question. My own two cents is that constructive engagement on the merits is almost always the better path. And if you feel like you have a good deal and you have good arguments, you're better off engaging constructively with the staff and leadership of the agencies. The other thing that I like to remind my clients, particularly clients that are repeat players in front of the agencies, either because they're acquisitive or because they're in industries where the enforcers tend to have activity from time to time, that there's a long-term relationship that you have with the agencies as well. And making sure that you engage in good faith and constructively on the merits is not only a good strategy for getting your deal through in any particular instance, it's a good overall strategy for developing trust and with the agency for the long term.
It sounds like there has been more openness in what you're saying with engaging with the agencies early on during the HSR process, or as you mentioned, also pulling and refiling the HSR sometimes. I was wondering if you have noticed if there has also been more openness to discussing remedies with the staff at the agencies during this administration.
In my experience, and again, I worked at DOJ for 16 years as a career staffer, just working my way up the chain from a trial lawyer to, in my last few years, being the senior career official overseeing civil enforcement. So I had broad perspective on that. In my experience, the approach on remedies is generally dictated by the political leadership. So to take the current administration and the last administration as illustrative, under the Biden administration, there was a real kind of hostility to merger remedies, a preference for litigated decisions that could set precedent, that could influence decision-making in the future. I think under the current administration, there's more openness to M&A activity. There's not the same degree of hostility to M&A activity. And as a result, you see much more openness to merger remedies. The staff at both agencies are influenced and guided by their leadership. So under the current administration, I do observe more openness to discussions around remedies simply because remedies are back in play, and that's kind of a directive and tone that have been set by the political leaders.
I think there's been a lot of talk in public remarks by officials at both agencies about the differences between structural and behavioral remedies. And I was wondering if you think that the agencies are more open to behavioral remedies during this administration, or is your experience still that structural remedies are the preference?
I think if you were to look at all of the data points for settlements at the DOJ and the FTC, largely we're still talking about traditional divestiture remedies. You know, there might be an exception here or there, but I think both FTC and DOJ leadership have made a point of saying that there's still a strong preference for structural remedies. Sometimes you can have a situation where a structural remedy, and by structural remedy, I really mean a divestiture of a business or a plant that's designed to preserve competition that might otherwise be lost as a result of the transaction. It's often the case that a divestiture like that is accompanied by, you know, what we might call behavioral commitments or additional relief that's aimed to facilitate a smooth handoff. So for example, think about a divestiture of a widget plant. Maybe there are some transitional services that need to be provided to ensure a smooth transition of that plant to a new owner. So there are, even in merger cases that are resolved through structural relief, there are behavioral aspects to it. That to me is different from a consent decree or merger settlement that is leveraging exclusively or primarily behavioral relief in the form of prohibitions on specific types of conduct. And I think on that front, this administration has taken a more traditional view, consistent with prior administrations, a strong preference for structural relief.
Okay, that's interesting. Curious if you have noticed any difference between the agencies, because here at Merger Market, we have been reporting on what the FTC and the DOJ have been up to, and our reporting has shown that the FTC has consistently investigated more mergers since the beginning of the Trump administration, and our analysis shows that nearly every FTC second request has resulted in either a consent decree of some kind or litigation, and our reporting has shown that the DOJ has been less active in the merger space since the new Trump administration took over. And I'm curious if you have noticed any differences between the agencies in your practice.
Yeah. So what I would say is that it's hard really to get an apples to apples comparison here between the FTC and the DOJ. You can't just look at summary statistics because each agency is looking at different mergers and the merits of those mergers differ, right? I think statistically, I think DOJ has only challenged in a contested litigation one case, one proposed merger. That was the HPE Juniper merger, which was ultimately settled. I think the FTC has had two contested challenges to mergers. Both agencies have had settlements. It's hard, again, to do an apples to apples comparison because mergers are not widgets, right? They have different strengths and weaknesses, and the merits of each case vary. So it's a little bit hard to draw any firm conclusions there. I mean, I will say that the FTC and the DOJ are different institutions structurally, right? The FTC is a commission. There's a chair, Chair Ferguson. He has one colleague, Mark Metter, who's a commissioner now, and they are collectively responsible for rendering the enforcement decisions. DOJ is a broader, the antitrust division within DOJ is just a component of the larger DOJ, and there's a broader structural and hierarchy at DOJ that has the potential to influence outcomes.
I'm interested in your experience of dealing with the state attorneys general. There's been an uptick in enforcement by the states, and it's been a topic at several antitrust conferences that I've attended. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this trend.
Yes, absolutely. There has been an uptick in enforcement. I mean, state attorneys general have been part of the equation going back for years. Earlier in my career, I actually worked in the New York Attorney General's office under Elliot Spitzer. So I'm personally well acquainted with the role that the state AGs play. And then while I was at DOJ, I coordinated on many merger investigations and litigations with various state AGs. And they have for a long time been part of the equation. Traditionally, the enforcement has taken the form of joining on when either the DOJ or the FTC are investigating or litigating to block a deal. I think the interesting trend that we are seeing now is increased standalone enforcement by various state AG groups. And I think that's a trend that's worth noting, and that any strategy for, you know, M&A activity and advocacy needs to account for the role of the states. There are many of my former colleagues from DOJ who are now in various state AG offices across the country. And these are smart, qualified folks who have their own mandates and their own enforcement powers. And any strategy needs to account for that.
In this era of standalone state enforcement, which we've seen in cases like the Live Nation case, where the states continued litigation after the DOJ settled the case, and the state's enforcement to block the Nexstar Tegna deal after the DOJ cleared it, I'm curious if you have any concrete lessons in how that's affected your practice and how you advise dealmakers and how to consider the state's review as well as the federal agencies.
So I need to be really careful here. I was not involved in either of those deals, and so I'm not well acquainted with the facts, but I think they are illustrative of this broader trend that I was referring to a moment ago, which is that we're seeing more standalone enforcement efforts by various state AGs, and that, of course, needs to be part of the strategy as you think about how to navigate a deal through agency review. It's not just DOJ or the FTC, it is state AGs as well. And any strategy needs to account for that fact.
Thank you. That's really interesting. It's been really interesting to hear your perspective on getting deals done in this antitrust environment, especially given your experience at the DOJ. Do you have any final words or advice for those considering a deal?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's actually a really great time for deal makers. I'm a strong believer in constructive engagement on the merits. That view is informed by 16 years serving in the trenches in the antitrust division at DOJ. I've seen the successes and failures firsthand on the front lines from the government perspective. And the advocacy really does matter. And what I can say from having spent so long at the agency is that constructive engagement on the matter, 9 times out of 10, is going to lead you to a better outcome. So I'm always surprised when I see, you know, others in the bar taking a more adversarial approach during the initial review process, because the agencies, the career staffers, the leadership, they're just trying to get to the bottom of what the impact of the merger will be, and approaching it in good faith and constructively produces their best results.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a really interesting conversation about best practices during this administration, and I look forward to continuing to cover merger reviews by these agencies in my reporting. Thanks again, Kathy.
That was Kathy O'Neill, a partner in Fried Frank's Antitrust and Competition Department, speaking to Serafina Smith, a senior regulatory reporter for Merger Market. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow or subscribe and join us again next time.